Good morning, everyone, and welcome back out into the bush. We've had a lot of rain here over the last few days. We've had right at 100 mil in the old measurement. That's 4 inches. I think we've caught up with our rain. But anyway, I think the most pleasant time to be out in the bush is when it's wet, the smells are there. It's a beautiful place that God has created. Go with me over to John chapter 16. Jesus and his disciples are almost at the Mount of Olives. If you recall, they left the upper room and began working their way toward Gethsemane. We all know the prayer that Jesus prayed, "Father, let this cup pass from me." And then he surrendered and said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." But before that prayer, a conversation took place, and that's what we're going to look at in John 16. We're going to read through the conversation. Verse number 1. "These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble." Jesus told them, he had just told them that some pretty rough things were going to happen to them because they're following Jesus. And then in verse 2, he gets very specific. "They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you in the beginning, because I was with you." Look, to be kicked out of the synagogue is about one of the worst things that you can do to a Jew. The family culture center is centered around the synagogue. And if these guys got kicked out of the synagogue, that would be a huge embarrassment to them and their families. You see, family pressures can get pretty tough, particularly when it comes to serving the Lord. Then Jesus said, "Those that kill you will think that they're doing God a service." Well, is that even possible? Well, have you ever heard of Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor and the murderer of Christians? Why did he do that? He thought he was doing God a service. But we know the rest of the story, that God got a hold of him and changed him and changed his life, and he became Paul, the Apostle Paul. And the killing continued. You maybe heard of a book that's called the Fox's Book of Martyrs that chronicles some of the early martyrs in Christianity. I know it's kind of a gruesome read, but I would encourage you to read that if you are interested in finding out what the early Christians, I mean, that's from Christ to the 1500s, went through because they're following Jesus. You see, serving Jesus is serious stuff. Now, question. What do you think God thinks of the Christian today in comparison to those Christians? Before we go any further, you might be wondering what the rumbling in the background is. That's actually the coast, and it's pretty loud today. The seas are angry today. Let's continue reading with John chapter 16, verses 5 through 6, as Jesus continues, "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." The reason that the disciples didn't drill down on what Jesus had said is because his leaving had broken their heart, and they were so concerned about their own selves being without a leader. But you can understand, they were heartbroken. They were hurting because Jesus said he was leaving. Verse 7, "Nevertheless, I'll tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away." My grace, how is that possible? How is it best not to have Jesus walking with you every day, talking with you every day? How is it best? Well, that really wasn't the best arrangement. Well, Jesus says, if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. Jesus promised that when he left, he would send the Helper, you know, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is within us 24/7. When we go to bed, he's there. When we get up, he's there. When we go to work, he's there. When we sit down in our living room, he is there. That is so much better. And that'll give you a hint at where that sacred place is that I was talking about earlier on. Verse 8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now Jesus explains, verse 9 through 11, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Let me try to make this simple. Jesus taught about the dangers of sin, and Paul expanded on that. But remember, it's the Holy Spirit's job. Jesus just said that, to convict the world of sin, and he knows what he's doing. It's not your job, not my job, to convict people of sin. That's his job, because he can work in the middle of the night where we can't. Well, secondly, Jesus lived the perfect life, and he was the perfect example of living. He was righteousness personified, and the Holy Spirit will continually point us toward his righteous life. Jesus said of judgment, now the devil is defeated, but he's fighting in every chance that he can to take you and I down. And when we yield to him, we give him a leg up on us. So when we do that, the Holy Spirit will come and convict us of that. And it's good for us to respond to that and say, yes, Lord, I've messed up. We confess that sin, and then we turn and repent and go back to him. The Holy Spirit will convict everyone of judgment. But are we listening? Verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now notice that. He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will guide you into all truth. All the truth. That's a very specific truth, which is God's truth. The Holy Spirit will direct us into God's truth. But remember, the Holy Spirit doesn't give us a thing that he didn't get directly from Jesus. But Jesus also said that the Holy Spirit will tell you things to come. Remember, it's John that's writing all these things down. And it's John who wrote the book of Revelation. The Holy Spirit had revealed to him things that are to come. Now a quick word about the Holy Spirit, verses 14 and 15. He will glorify me, Jesus says, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. He will glorify me, Jesus said. He will glorify me. Have you ever heard somebody say, the Holy Spirit here and the Holy Spirit there and the Holy Spirit told me this and the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit? Well, that's all they talk about. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will glorify him. Our focus should not be the Holy Spirit, but our focus should be Jesus himself. That's what the Holy Spirit will lead you to do. Then Jesus says, verse 15, all that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Well, that's what he did. So now verse number 16. Jesus kind of changed his direction. A little while and you'll not see me. And again, a little while you will see me because I go to the Father. The disciples heard this and they were confused. What is he talking about? A little while and you'll not see me, then a little while you will see me. Well, they were rightfully confused. But remember, they didn't know the end of the story. We do. Verse 20 through 22. Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you, and your heart will rejoice, and joy, your joy no one will take from you. We know that they did weep. They were broken. They were in anguish because of what happened to Jesus. And we know that when he rose again, that their joy was absolutely over the top. It changes a person's life to see the risen Savior. But then again, why wouldn't it? A man who said he's going to rise from the dead, and he pulls it off. Verses 23 and 24. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. We know that Jesus is just repeating what he had taught in John chapter 14. You see, as his followers, we have a special connection with Jesus, a close one, just like the disciples did. And if we stay closely, or as Jesus described in chapter 14, as abiding or staying connected to or pursuing daily the Savior, we know that we will know his will. And his will be our will. Again, that's abiding. So when we pray in Jesus' name, we'll be praying in his will, if we're abiding. Jesus goes on to explain in a simple way how he will be going back to the Father. And the guys got it. But then, verse 32, indeed, the hour is coming, yes, it's now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Within hours, these guys were scattered. When Jesus was arrested, they ran. If you recall, only John was at the cross when Jesus was finally crucified. The rest of them couldn't be found. But even at that, Jesus' last words have a strong, strong message. Verse 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Look, the world is a tough place. And you and I are going to make some embarrassing mistakes. You know we will. But if we'll come to Jesus, he'll restore us. When we feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, we need to repent of our sins. Confess those and repent of our sins. And come humbly, even broken, to his feet. And he will restore us. Why? Because he overcame everything. The disciples did that, and they changed the world. What will we do? Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for Jesus' words. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.